Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to The Sportive. I'm John Marthaler. We are doing a little different of an episode tonight. Normally, we've got Brandon and Stu and Chicken that are all here to talk about sort of Minnesota sports in general terms. Tonight, this is our Gopher football preview, and I think it's fair to say that I am the most interested in Gopher football of anybody on the podcast. So rather than bore Brandon and Stu and Chicken with one of my patented 65-minute speeches that we usually reserve for important topics like Minnesota United or the Rugby World Cup, tonight we're gonna get a couple of fellow sickos to talk Gopher football this year. With me tonight, Dave, my brother Dave is here. Say hello, Dave.
Hi.
We reference Dave often, but he doesn't get a chance to fire back as often as he should. So tonight he's got Gopher football hot takes. He's got conference realignment hot takes. And he's got some horrible things to say about the guys you're usually on the podcast. So you can look forward to that. And also joining us, our longtime friend, another fellow Gopher football sicko, also a Nebraska football sicko, but mostly a Gopher football sicko, our friend Shmuel.
Let's have an elite podcast today.
It's going to be an elite time. Shmuel is in charge of acronyms. The acronyms don't stand for anything, but they're just sentences that have been shortened into only first letters of things. And we'll interpret them from there. Also, he is running a system of Shmuel bucks that are mimicking the Fleck coins that we can use to get in and out of things. So during the podcast, look for Shmuel to give us sort of demerits, and we'll have to. What was Fleck accused of punishing people with? I don't remember this. The story was like 3 weeks ago, and I've already forgotten it.
I feel like it was something like they were punished with extra conditioning or something, where the way it was written in the story made it sound like, you know, they were tortured.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they had to run extra sprints. And I know
never been done in football.
Right, right. Former players laughing at the idea that it was somehow controversial that you made guys who missed practice run sprints.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like, my understanding from the story, and I did read the story, it wasn't like Batman where they just snapped a pool cue in half and made people fight to the death and only the person who lived got to stay. It was like, oh, you got in trouble in class, you have to run extra sprints. And every football player who ever played football in between the seventh grade and college was like, yep, that sounds right. Actually, I'm surprised the number of people who ever wrote that article were willing to get the number of people that he got to say, oh, that's terrible, they had to do extra conditioning. Well, I, as far as I understood, that's sort of the deal. I am an old person, so it's important to note that I don't know what football is like now at the college level or the high school level.
And I mean, like, I think it's worth noting constantly that, like, nobody involved in a college football program is a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
I think I said this over text, but people are confused by PJ Fleck sometimes because he does all the intense talking with too much smiling. That means like either insurance sales or football coaching. And he uses lots of acronyms, and he seems high energy, and therefore people think he's some kind of fun players coach, which he absolutely is not.
He is
as old school as you'd like.
It's like we've said it before on this podcast. You cannot be a good person and be the head coach at a Division One football school. It's like saying you can't be a good person and be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. It's just not possible. There's too much backstabbing that has to go on and too much horrible treatment of people around you and people beneath you for you to get that high. You can be sort of a good person. You don't have to necessarily be an evil person, but you can't be entirely a good, selfless, humble person to get that high. You have to have the ego. This probably goes for a lot of things. The president of the United States, whatever else. You're not going to reach that level without being a lunatic.
Right. But even in that category, I'm pretty sure PJ Fleck would list his coaching mentor and possibly idol as Greg Schiano. So that should tell you pretty much everything you need to know.
He's at Schiano. Is Schiano back at Rutgers? Did I see
Yeah, he's
right?
back. He's back at Rutgers.
Are they still
if Schiano and Tressel is like his other mentor, or has his old
right?
Now it could be Urban Meyer. It could be the Urban Meyer coaching tree.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's 20 minutes on PJ Fleck, but let's kick it off. Let's start at the beginning with the new. We're gonna go down the roster a little bit. We'll start with the quarterback. We'll go down the roster a little bit later. We'll get into the schedule. We'll get some predictions, but starting with probably the most important guy on any football team, the quarterback this year is Ethan Kalikmanis, or as every uncle in all of Minnesota will call him, Mele Kalikimaka.
Is that in fact what they will call him?
Well, I assume. I don't know what else you would do for a nickname, but
I assumed it was going to be something like Arthur Campbell or.
No, that's not nearly stupid enough. I think Mele Kalikimaka is going to be where we're going.
I feel like any announcer or any person that's talking about the Gophers that has like a week to prepare and read the name still gets it wrong. So I think we're in for long season.
You heard
the
pause
family.
In my voice.
Yeah.
The pause as I was about to say Ethan Kelly. Number one, I'm going to start calling him Nathan Kalikmanis because Ethan is just a silly name. But
yeah, I think what you will hear on broadcasts is you'll hear clear evidence that the people doing the commentary spent a lot of their week practicing saying Ethan Kalikmanis. And so they will use it too much. Oh, there's Ethan Kalikmanis with the handoff to some guy.
It's like me finding excuses to say Bongo Kukle Kolangwane for Minnesota United. I practice so much that I just want to break out and say Bongo Kukle as many times as I can. I was genuinely mad that people started calling him Bongi. Like, no, you got to put in the work. For once, I know how to pronounce somebody's name, and I'm going to keep using it. Never mind that I'll never get the former Timberwolves coach, who I always pronounce Rick Adelman. It's wrong, but I literally can't. I don't know what his actual name is now because I've said Adelman so many times because Dave and I grew up with somebody named Adelman.
Yeah, I can't remember. All I know is that you always got it wrong, and I don't want to try.
Yeah, I'm making fun of myself here. But we start with Kalikmanis. He's a junior. I think he's a junior. These years mean nothing anymore. He's in some year. He's somewhere between a freshman and a senior. And I feel like people are, at the end of the year, he got in for Tanner Morgan, who was into his 15th year of eligibility. He played a few games down the stretch last year. He looked pretty good. And since then, it has gone from, I think he will be the starter. And it has really grown into, if he's not in the NFL this time next year, it'll be a tragedy of scouting because he's clearly the best quarterback the Gophers have ever had. It really seems like it's really grown. I don't know. Are you guys seeing that same thing?
He did seem like he improved down the stretch, but that was also a function of starting against Penn State and then playing increasingly worse teams as the year went on.
Right.
Like, I don't.
Well, he gets to play Nebraska again at the start of the year, so that's got to be good for him, right?
No one can tell. Nebraska's got another new coach. Matt Rhule is a pretty good coach, except in the NFL, but he was good at Baylor. So,
was he the guy at Baylor where
No, he was after that guy.
He was after that.
He was after the murder cover-up guy.
That was the basketball team, but yeah, after the murder cover-ups and the hey, just about everybody on this team has committed at least one sexual assault, and that was Art Briles, who was like, "Yeah, you're gonna have some of that.
Boys will be boys." John Voight in Varsity Blues. Blah blah.
Yeah,
blah.
Right.
Yeah. I was wondering, John, when you know before you did the whole 15-year starter Tanner Morgan, if we're gonna have to go through another year of every announcer talking about how many years Tanner Morgan played quarterback before the start of every Gopher game. I guess this year we're going to have to go through that. But
now we'll just talk about how Tanner Morgan made 79 consecutive starts for the Gopher football team.
We'll hear all about it. In terms of the quarterback, obviously, like after the Wisconsin game, I think we were all very excited. I can't remember the last time we had a 300-yard passing performance from a quarterback, but I feel like in listening to Fleck and just what we know about the team, I still think we're going to probably throw the ball like 15 to 20 times a game. Still,
if that,
it's going to come down to in those very few throws if he completes them or not, because it's not like they're just going to open it up and pass more. And I mean, again, Fleck's just telling you outright that basically from all the press conferences, he's like, we're not going to change who we are. Even when we had Bateman and Johnson, we still only threw 35% of the time or whatever it is. So I think we should all know what we're getting into, which is, it's going to be a lot of RPO with the emphasis on the R. And but I guess the
RPR.
nice thing is we'll actually be able to hold on to the ball and run it a little bit too, which Morgan, rarely did. Exciting. So
Tanner Morgan was the only quarterback in college football where you're like, whoa, you got to limit this guy's touches. His bones are old and creaky. It's like an older Kirk Cousins. You can't get it. You can't move him out of the pocket. He's a danger to himself out there. He doesn't see well at night. You can't let him drive after the sun goes down. His kids take his keys away all the time.
And I wanted to ask you guys this, like before we get into the roster and stuff, with just the current state of the program, right? Like, so we're getting 9 or 10 wins, I guess, the last 3 years. And obviously we play this brand of football, which is a very Big Ten brand of football. Like, are you guys happy with where the program is right now? Like, are people asking for too much? Like, where do you guys sit in terms of like where the program is?
Well, I mean, this is an inside joke between the three of us, but we've had so many program defining wins over the past few seasons that the joke here for all the listeners is that every time the Gophers win a close game, no matter whether it's against Eastern Michigan or regular Michigan, we get a text from Shmuel that said, is this a program changing win? And so we're on to, what did they have, 9 program changing wins last year?
Yeah, the Syracuse one, I think, really, really set the stage.
The bowl game. Yeah. Those bowl games have the potential to just change how a team looks the next season. Dave, why don't you go first for that question?
I think I people will be surprised to hear me say this, at least since I've been I've been referenced as the most irascible man in the history of the universe on this podcast.
Get ready, everybody. This is gonna be something else.
I feel like the program is at a higher level than it's been since I was alive, and probably since the early 70s. In the sense that
you're saying PJ Fleck is a Cal Stoll for a new era.
I would even put him above Cal Stoll. No, ooh. Bold takes here. This podcast now has an E rating. I'm sorry, everyone.
The mildest jalapeno.
I don't know who that
time.
Is.
Yeah, no one does. Our listeners over 50 are like
over 50, over 65.
Yeah, okay. Anyone who's still in the working world and me are the only people who knew what that meant. But I think they are in they are consistently in the top 40, probably in the top 30 in the nation. They play consistently good defense, which to me is confusing and strange, and I cannot yet get my expectations working properly for that.
Yeah, like, there was like 20 years in there where that never happened.
You know, look, you asked if I was looking at the fancy stats ratings at all, John.
Yeah,
the fancy stats ratings that I was looking at, the projections for this year, the Gophers are projected to have the ninth ranked defense in the country.
No way.
Now, I don't believe that, you. That is partly a function of playing several like offensively non-functional teams every year. But
thank you, Big Ten West.
Yeah, thank you, Big Ten West. But still, the fact that the Gopher defense is not a total liability that makes me want to cry is, again, something I am still getting used to and probably will get used to for a while. Like, I don't know what to do with the defense when confronted with a third and 14 is not going to give up a 75 yard touchdown on third and 14 in a key situation. Like that used to be
on a running play to the fullback.
Yeah, you could honestly set your watch to it. Like, what's going to go wrong here?
Yeah, under Tim Brewster, there were a few years where it looked like three or four make a wish kids were playing at all times on the defense.
Well, yeah, I mean, Tim Brewster, like, he and his whole staff didn't do any coaching. Like, they just
did a lot of yelling.
They threw the playbook in, did a lot of yelling, and then in the press conference came up with ways to blame the players for not knowing how to execute the 750-page playbook. Incidentally,
he's
Jed Fish is
now, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
What's he doing what's he doing on the Colorado staff?
Well,
I think he's still a tight ends coach.
He's back to like tight ends coach and recruiting coordinator.
Water
finds its own level, and so does Brew.
Joel Maturi got a building named after him. He hired a tight ends coach to be a head coach, who then immediately, after leaving Minnesota, immediately went back to being a tight ends coach for the rest of his life.
I mean, I think John Gutekunst is still a special assistant somewhere.
Like, John Gutekunst Sr., he can't be alive still, can he?
Right. Well, that's what Wikipedia is for, isn't it?
Ooh, this is looking up Goody facts. Because Brian Gutekunst, who is the Packers guy, is his son, right?
Yes, he is.
So,
okay, John Gutekunst was last the defensive analyst for East Carolina in 2017, it says here. And... This is Wikipedia, so it's probably wrong, but I love that someone put it. He is now the head ranger at Wilbrook Plantation Golf Course in Pawleys Island, South Carolina.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So
I know in the ranks of former Gopher head football coaches, we've got one golf ranger, one tight ends coach, the coach at New Mexico State, and poor Jim Wacker, the nicest man alive, is gone. Departed this earth.
You can really look at this job as a stepping stone to something bigger.
that's like the threat for Gopher head coaches. Like, once you get fired, you stay fired.
I know. Every time we have a half decent head coach, it's like, well, what if he leaves for this job? And then all of them end up as a Walmart greeter 2 years after they leave the Gopher football. I don't know. What happens if somebody steals Gundy's? He never coached another team after he left. He was just done with coaching, out of it forever. Mike Leach,
but Dave,
Texas
your comment
Tech
about
him out of town.
Your comment about the Gopher defense, like I do worry basically every offseason when we're going to lose Joe Rossi, because he seems like, I don't know, one of the best D coordinators in the country. Again, just how to describe how he turned this defense around, I don't think anyone.
He turned the defense around instantly. I don't feel like that gets talked about enough.
Who came before him?
Rob Smith, the dude's name was.
With and Rob
the Gophers gave up like, it was something like 50 points three times and 40 points three other times. And they finally canned him.
In the middle of the season, right?
In the middle of the season. And the next week, the defense was good. And I still want to know, what did Joe Rossi change? What was Rob Smith practicing? Yeah, what in 1 week of practice, like, did Did they show up on Monday morning and be like, okay, guys, we're going to try tackling? And the whole defense went, oh, tackling, and like wrote it down on their hand.
the whole season, yeah. Rob Smith is standing there with a clipboard and a whistle and going, you know, blows a whistle, tweet. All right, everybody, line up. We got to make 50 extra points to get straight as a team before we can do any practicing. Everybody line up. Yeah. We're all
just picturing
one at a time.
I'm picturing the notepad, like a tackle equals good, touchdown equal bad. They're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. they're all looking at the wristbands like, no, touchdown is bad, like pointing at it to each other.
All right, everybody get your Sharpie where it says touchdown equals good. Scratch that out and write bad. Oh, thanks, coach.
So, yeah, I don't know if, like, Joe Rossi is the greatest coach in the history of football, or Rob Smith literally had never seen a football before, or I just don't understand it.
I feel like the reason nobody has poached Joe Rossi at this point is because everyone who looks at it is like, well, you know, Minnesota has a really good defense. They're like, nope, no, that can't be right.
No,
I'm
not
sorry.
A thing.
That doesn't sound right to me. Well, anyway, I love that Dave's answer veered off into belittling a former defensive coordinator for the Gophers. That's the kind of answer that we were looking for from Dave. If we can somehow work in David Gibbs into this answer or Mitch Browning, I would love to hear.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, generally, the state of the program is that we beat Wisconsin 3 of the last 5 years. So things are good.
I agree with everything Dave said. I think the difference is we lived through so many years of Glenn Mason, and even to a point Jerry Kill, although Kill was sort of the start of the improvement, where it was like, well, 5-3 is the best we'll ever do. And if we're 3-5, that's no big deal. It really feels like they bumped that up to 5-4 is it's okay. And yeah, they have to be better than that in order for it to be good. And that, it's a step forward that they never took for a million. I mean, they were terrible for a million years. And then under Mason, they were mediocre. And then under Kill, they sort of started turning the wheels a little bit. Same with Clay's a little bit, where it was a slight improvement of the level. And now it seems like they've taken that next step forward into they're not terrible all the time. They're not Illinois all the time. They're not Indiana all the time. Like for so many years, it was like Indiana's terrible. Northwestern's terrible, except somehow every 15 years they're amazing and they win the Big Ten. They've never gotten to that level where they've actually won anything important. That, I think, is the key strike against Fleck that you have to say, is that the level has been raised, but they've never actually gotten over that hump. They haven't beaten Iowa in 45 years or whatever. They had that 11-2 year where they lost to Iowa and Wisconsin, and it was like, this is the worst 11-2 year I could possibly imagine. This is awful. And so it's just, there's more expectations. I feel like those expectations are less this year. I feel like a lot of the conversation about the football team is that they've had a lot of turnover and that they have an impossibly hard schedule. And so I think the expectations are much lower this year. And in a way, they were 9-4 last year. If they went 9-4 again this year, that would be a pretty good accomplishment. That would be like a major step forward, except it won't look like it because of the same record.
I think the other thing that affects the perception of the program is that the landscape of college football has changed and the landscape of the conference has changed, that the Big Ten is no longer winnable.
Right.
Like
they have no
it's,
chance.
That there is no expectation that, oh, maybe if we put a run together and a good team together, we could challenge for a conference title. That's just not a thing. Like they're not playing the same sport as Michigan or Ohio State or Penn State, or starting next year, USC and maybe Washington and Oregon. Like they're just
at UCLA.
Sorry,
you suck
UCLA.
Too.
you got to do some things before I'll put you on that level, UCLA. But it's just it's not the same thing. It's not when you've got one team that, as far as I can tell, like the NIL money coming into the Gopher program is like you know, I think a couple of the bars near campus kick in a few bucks. I don't know. And you know, Oregon's
I really don't understand how NIL works, but I know we're not good at it.
Yeah. There isn't any versus, you know, Michigan and Ohio State are literally making $1 million offers to recruits, which is not the way this was supposed to work, but that is the way it's working right now. Oregon has got Phil Knight writing checks. What are you supposed to do? There's a ceiling that used to feel like, oh, with a little luck, maybe we can make a difference here. That ceiling is now hard and fast. You're not going above that level.
Yeah, I mean, when we were coming up, it was like, well, if you could somehow only lose two Big Ten games, there's a possibility that Michigan has a little bit of a down year. Ohio State has a down year. Everybody has two losses. Maybe you beat one of them. Maybe you get to 7-1. You're probably not going to run the table and go 8-0, but it's a possibility. Then that sort of transformed when they expanded the conference. That sort of transformed into, well, they might be able to win the Big Ten West. Not throwing out the legends and leaders years. You sort of looked and said, well, they might be able to win the West. The West isn't good. They can't beat Michigan. They can't beat Ohio State. They can't beat Penn State regularly, although they've done all right against Penn State over the years. But winning the West seems possible. They can compete with Iowa. They can compete with Wisconsin, despite what I just said about losing to Iowa 45 years in a row. That particular moment in time where they were competing against the Big Ten West, that was in the history of Gopher football, going back to like the 1960s, that was like the most appropriate level of competition Minnesota has ever had in football, competing against those other six teams. Like, they can't compete against Michigan and Ohio State. We know this. They can compete against Northwestern. They can compete against Illinois. This is a very winnable part. And that is really going away. It really is turning. I've been banging the drum about how similar both historically and in the way they actually work, European soccer and college football are. I've been banging this drum for years, and it's never going to be more true than when you get the Premier League and La Liga of college football next year. In the Premier League, there are effectively five teams that can win it, six teams that can win it, and everybody else has no hope. It's like finishing seventh is a big achievement for Brighton or Bournemouth or whoever. That's going to be the way it is in college football. The chances of Vanderbilt winning the SEC, I mean, they were already zero, but now they're less than zero. Vanderbilt has no hope of ever winning a conference title. There are other, Missouri has no hope of ever winning the SEC. In the Big Ten, in the Premier League, Minnesota's never going to win the Big Ten. Northwestern's never going to win the Big Ten again. It's not going to happen. Rutgers will never win the Big Ten. Maryland will never win the Big Ten. It's the way of the world. And so this is in many ways the last year of college football, the last year of what we were used to. Next year is a whole different thing. Nationally and even locally, it's going to be very different next year. This is the last year of anything. So if the Gophers are ever going to win anything, and I'm not saying they're going to, but it's got to be this year.
And again, what they can win, and I think it's bizarre. I saw it pointed out somewhere that the last 3 years, if the Gophers had won one more particular game, they would have won the Big Ten West.
Yep.
Which, that sure didn't seem possible 10 years ago. Thanks, Tim. Even then, what you're winning by winning the Big Ten West is the chance to get absolutely boat raced in the first week of December.
Which is what happened every year. It happened to other teams, it was hilarious. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, gosh.
Was it Iowa that got beat 70 to nothing?
No, I don't remember what that game turned out. No, that was Nebraska that got beat 70 to something. But the year Ohio State beat Wisconsin 59-0, that was pretty cool.
I mean,
and I feel like last year's was something like 45-3 Iowa lost, and that was also cool.
I mean,
so guessing from what you guys are saying, I'm not feeling any upset predictions against Ohio State and Michigan this year, huh?
It's I feel like there are, even 10 years ago, it felt like a couple lucky breaks, a fake punt at the right time or something, and you had a chance of beating Ohio State. And now you just, it's not a thing that happens, because Ohio State literally has three squads of players that are better than anybody on the Gophers roster. And that's not a knock on the Gophers roster. It's just the way recruiting is now.
Yeah. I mean, Ohio State, they could probably play three Big Ten games in a week as long as they were against Minnesota, Northwestern, and Indiana or something. Just split squad it and just see if they can win all three and have a couple weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way. The biggest difference, the thing that the Big Ten West might come down to this year, is that Minnesota plays Ohio State and Michigan, and Iowa doesn't. Iowa doesn't have either one of them on the schedule. Iowa's going to score 100 points for the season, but they don't. If they don't play anybody good, I think they have to go to Penn State. But that's it. It's just those schedule differences are going to make one of the biggest differences in the Big Ten West, because there's no. I think a lot of people are picking Iowa to win the Big Ten West, but I don't think there's a standout team, and I don't think even on the bottom, I don't know if there's a terrible team on the bottom. Who's the worst team in the West? Northwestern? I guess Northwestern. The whole school's in shambles right now.
Well, this will be the quiz to see if you've been listening to Fleck or not in the offseason. Is it a hard schedule, or what is the term we use for the schedule this year?
I think he said something about, like, it's a schedule that's full of opportunity.
The most opportunistic schedule.
Which is not what the word opportunistic means, incidentally. Like that's not correct grammatically, nor is it correct about the schedule. Nothing about that is right, but he said it with, in a slightly too loud voice while showing his teeth, and people are like, yeah, that's probably the way words work.
This schedule is full of opportunistic. Yeah. Well, I see that we've gotten derailed from talking about Ethan Calicmanis.
Well, we got through one position group already. Yeah. That's pretty good.
I do want to say that the funniest thing about this, about preseason so far, is everyone saying, well, they've got Calicmanis. So they might, they're probably going to throw the ball more. Like, they got pretty good wide receivers. They're going to throw the ball more. And then you got PJ Fleck, like, looking down the camera, being like, we're not going to throw the ball more. I don't want to throw the ball ever. We are going to run the wing T. This is never going to happen. Don't expect us to throw the ball.
Being a Big Ten West fan my whole life, I appreciate a good running offense. I appreciate that it seems like once you get it going, it's really hard to stop. I appreciate that there's not a lot of risk to it, and you can just kind of churn your way down the field. Good heavens, the Gophers are boring to watch sometimes.
it's not even like fun running plays, like
no.
The option for Navy or whoever.
Yeah.
Mo Ibrahim, line up and fall forward 4.5 yards every play.
Not only does their offense not have misdirection, it hardly has a direction. It was just, okay, snap it to whoever and have them turn and hand it to Mo. And then, I don't know, maybe something good will happen.
Mo's going to play six tackles and everything will be fine.
And he kept doing it. Is he in the NFL, or did his leg fall off finally?
The dude had 42,000. He had 42,000 carries in college. I can't believe in this day and age of football that he's going to get much opportunity.
I mean, if he plays any NFL snaps, I assume at some point he's going to come to the sideline and just fall apart like the car at the end of the Blues Brothers.
The thing with the Gophers too, like I hear you guys with the, yeah, it's not the most fun style to watch. The part that gets really frustrating is if we ever get down two scores.
Yeah.
It's basically, you feel like you're down 35 or 42 to nothing at that point. It's like, seems almost impossible for us to be able to come back. So again, hopefully we can be a little bit more dynamic this year. I guess we'll get into the plays and basically, just going against everything we just talked about. But yeah,
I will say one of the big reasons it seemed to me that one of the big reasons that Fleck always wanted to run the ball so much is that it is about the only way that you have of using the clock to sort of neutralize a talent disparity in football. Like, if you can hold on to the ball and you can run the ball a lot, you can reduce the number of plays that your team runs and the other team runs. And so it has the potential to be like, well, they might have scored three touchdowns in the first half on their only three drives, and the Gophers could work out a touchdown and two field goals or something and stay in touch. With the new clock rules, I feel like that's going to be even more attractive for PJ Fleck. The new clock rules, for those of you, if you're listening to this podcast at this point, I have to believe you know what the new clock rules are. But for anyone who is just like listening to this because they like the sound of Minnesotan accents or something, the new clock rule is it's like the NFL, where the clock starts after, keeps running with a first down until the last 5 minutes of the half or 2 minutes of the half. I can't actually remember.
I think two.
So two. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it used to be the clock would always stop after a first down, and now it's going to continue to run just like the NFL, which should take away, you know, 10 or 15 plays out of a game and make it so that a college football game can once again be played under 3 hours instead of the normal 4.5 that it takes nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. The style's going nowhere as long as Fleck's here. And honestly, it's probably the way we need to play for all the things you guys talked about before, when Oregon and USC come flying down here with their offenses and everything too, on top of all the other great teams. Yeah, we need to
with
slow it down.
And
we gotta yuck it up. Yeah.
We've already yucked it up. It's not like it's not like we can change more. The only way to yuck it up more is be like Iowa, who plays that way but without any kind of offensive talent.
It's funny that the Gophers play this way and by far are not the worst team in the division to watch. Like, watch.
Yeah.
Iowa, it's like, well, we're going to try to block a punt and recover in the end zone. That's our only offensive play.
The fascinating thing about Iowa is they used to be like, they occasionally had some good players on offense and would sometimes make a play. And then Kirk Ferentz hired his son as the offensive coordinator and everything went immediately to heck. And they have responded by continuing to extend his son's contract as the offensive coordinator.
Oh, you hate my son? Well, guess what? He's hired through 2029 now. I'm going to pay him even more money.
It's some sort of reverse psychology, something. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what's that? Well, what's that? Did someone say something negative? Now he's extended through 2031. Yeah. Keep it up. We can do this all day.
Now he's head coach. You like that?
Mm-hmm.
See what I can do? I can do anything. I'm unaccountable to anyone. My
gosh,
strength coach is trying
guys.
To kill people. Oh,
we
them.
Really need to beat those guys.
That's the infuriating thing. Yeah. Iowa is no good every single year, and we can't beat them, and neither can anyone else.
What was the score last year's Gopher? Was last year the year that it was like 9-6 and then Iowa returned a fumble for a touchdown or whatever?
I think it was like 10-7 or 13-7.
So, and I think we ran for like 400 yards that game. Yeah. Like we literally had the ball the whole game and somehow they won that thing. That was just
crimes
brutal.
Against football, yeah. As usual.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The other fascinating story in the conference this year, Wisconsin is running the air raid.
Is it like full-blown air raid?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Like they got
a bunch of 375-pound offensive tackles lining up out there. Here we go, guys.
I honestly, like they got a bunch of transfers, like transfer quarterbacks and receivers. I just, like Wisconsin has been playing a very particular, very horrible, very like football and fan hating way for more than 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it feels what it reminds me of is the first year Tim Brewster was here when he said, we're going to run the spread. And we only had two receivers who could catch. And like once a game, they would throw to one of the other receivers just to keep the defense honest, except they would inevitably fumble.
Those were the days.
Mm-hmm. And eventually one of those receivers wound up playing defensive back at Auburn.
And Adam Weber was murdered by
the other like most extreme example of this is from my somewhat accidental like Nebraska fandom is mm-hmm. they went from the option to Bill Callahan.
Right.
Like running right the West
Coast offense.
And so I don't know why people aren't picking up that you shouldn't just totally change who you are right away.
it did kind of feel like whatever magic Nebraska had passed out of their bodies and into Wisconsin's corpse, and Wisconsin started recruiting a billion linemen from New Jersey, and whatever Nebraska just lost the Horcrux or whatever, and they have never gotten it back ever since.
That's a really good point. You're onto something here.
Yeah. That's right. Wisconsin is the new Nebraska. That's what I'm saying. And Nebraska is the new, I don't know, Ball State. Anyway, who are our running backs this year? Do either of you guys know? Can you name the running backs on this Gopher football team? I'll spot you Bryce Williams, who's also a 50-year
senior. Man, that was the one I was going with.
Do you remember, like, I still can't believe this. Bryce Williams and Muhammad Ibrahim got a bunch of carries because, like, Rodney Smith and what's his name? Shannon?
Telus Redman.
Not Telus Redman. I forget.
Lawrence
I forget.
McKenzie.
No. Yeah. His first name is Shannon. I can't remember his last name all of a
Shannon
sudden.
Shannon Brooks.
Thank you.
Shannon Brooks. Yes.
Yeah. Like, literally, those two guys got hurt in 2018, I'm pretty sure. And so Bryce Williams and Mo Ibrahim got most of the carries that year. And now it's, I think, a decade later. Like, it's literally 6 years later, and Bryce Williams is still here. He still can't move side to side.
Has he transferred and transferred back? Like, are we in that scenario?
No, he's been here the whole time.
He'll be around 5 years from now. Be like, oh yeah, it's my COVID year, Bryce. I'm pretty sure you said that like five, six times.
You said already. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't get eight COVID years. He's like, well, I got COVID eight times, so I thought I had eight COVID years.
I get a COVID year every time I get it.
Bryce Williams. He runs like Mo Williams, except it doesn't work.
Yeah. Honestly, so not looking. Yeah, I didn't look at anything, so I can't tell you their names. I just know that one guy's a transfer and one guy's a freshman.
I believe the transfer is named Sean Tyler.
Yep.
He's from Western Michigan. And I got to say, the people at Western Michigan have got to be getting pretty annoyed at this point.
Because they took their coach and they're like, all right, nothing
been
else
gone
can
for how long? Why?
Like, it does seem like we've gotten roughly 25 transfers from Western Michigan over the last few years. I know,
but even now, how long has Fleck been here? 2019?
This is his 2017
year, right?
Was his first year. This is 2017 year.
His first. Yeah. And he's still like, well, call it up with Kalamazoo, Michigan. Oh, well, who you got? Who's good? All right. Can you send him the address for the transfer portal? They sound like we could use them, actually.
I can just picture the Western Michigan football coaches like, oh, why? Why? Why does he keep going after our players?
Yeah, like you realize there are other directional Michigans. There's
so
a central
many other Michigan.
There's
You're
an
playing
Eastern.
One of them this year.
There's even a Northern.
Because they do have three transfers from Western Michigan, I think, this year. Is that right?
Sounds right.
Their best running back and their best linebacker, something like that. It's pretty fun. I mean, being on this side of it is pretty funny. I assume there's a Western Michigan podcast being recorded right now where they're just furious about Minnesota stealing all their players.
It's 2 hours of just banging on Minnesota. Yeah. Yep.
That is the other thing that's very different than it used to be. Like, it used to be that if your team was a lot of transfers, you really had to question, like, what are we doing in recruiting? How come none of our players are any good? Why do we have to have so many transfers? Is this Bill Snyder at Kansas State where everyone was a JUCO or a transfer? And now everybody's team is like 65% transfers.
Yeah.
That's very strange. Yeah. To the point when you have a guy that was recruited to your team and is still on your team like 3 years later, you're like, that guy doesn't have any ambition.
Yeah,
he needs
must
to move
be
on.
Very good.
Yeah.
He needs to. What do you mean he hasn't transferred to a better school? He must be terrible. All right. The other guy is Darius Taylor. He's the freshman. He is from Walled Lake, Michigan. Walled Lake, as in a lake with many walls.
As long as it has some Michigan connection, we're good. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't keep reading. He's from Western High School in Michigan.
that literally, yeah. Fleck just, he Googled the wrong thing.
Oh, he's just like,
Western Michigan. Oh, this guy's from Western Michigan. He must be good. Oh, that was Western High School? Yeah, he's still fine.
Yeah, about good enough.
Sign him up.
So I will say for the running back position, probably like how I think about offensive line now with the Gophers is like, I feel like whoever they plug in is going to be just fine and right. They're going to be productive and they're going to be good. Kind of like how we had it even back in like the Glenn Mason days. So I'm not like, I mean, I'd be curious to see how they do, but I almost take it as a given now just for, again, we would have like one running back hurt, two running backs hurt, three running backs hurt. And whoever came in, even if it was Bryce Williams that hadn't played in 4 years, he would pop 5 yards a carry because of that line and the system. So, yeah, I think it's okay that we don't know these guys. And we're out of all the positions, I'm not worried about running back. Just again, I think we're set up to just plug whoever in there, and it's gonna be fine.
I'm glad you mentioned the offensive line because the Gophers do have to replace three guys who departed on the offensive line. I think it was both guards and John Michael Montgomery, the center, who really did. Did he actually set the record for number of starts for a Big Ten football team? I think he probably did at some point because he was up to into the 60s for the number of games he started because he was a 6-year senior. He's 31 years old and starting his career in the NFL this year, but they have Quinn Carroll, who was a tackle last year and wasn't any good. And so they're moving him to guard, and they have Ariante Irsari playing left tackle, who apparently is quite good. Depending on what other people say, but
in terms of fun names to say, he's right up there with anybody else the Gophers have ever had.
Well, yeah, that does bring up a good point. Would you like to say the name of the former Gophers defensive lineman who is now the Gophers defensive line coach? His first name is Winston. He's from Louisiana. I'm not willing to attempt his last name.
I assume because it's Louisiana, attempting to pronounce his name the way it looks will be extremely incorrect. So I think the best thing to do is put on your best Ed Orgeron voice and say maybe two of the apparently 14 syllables.
All right. Do you want to try it?
I do not.
Get your Ed Orgeron ready to go. Football. Football. Coach O.
That's my Ed Orgeron imitation. He's just grunting lowly.
For the Gopher football talk, people, but you stay for the Ed Orgeron impersonation.
Yeah, if anyone called the Ed Orgeron at reference in this podcast, that's a heck of a call. Yeah,
that's the free. Well, the free space is a Glenn Mason reference in this podcast. But
I did think to myself when I found out we were going to do this show, you know, Dave, you could probably not talk about Glenn Mason anymore.
And then 2 minutes later, you were ripping Rob Smith a new one.
Well, I've moved on, John.
Rob Smith's
been gone for 5 years. Glenn Mason's been gone for 17 years. That's so many years.
Anyway, so I'm looking down the list of potential replacements for the offensive line, and they got looks like two or possibly three guys who are in there who would be 6th-year seniors and another couple who would be 5th-year seniors. So once again, the Gopher offensive line will be staffed by 26-year-olds.
Right.
It's really Gopher offensive linemen and North Dakota hockey defensemen are the same age. Mm. Exactly the same age. Same people. All right.
I feel like I'm going to be doing a small infomercial for Fleck, but in the program. But again, like with the offensive linemen and the development that we're doing, and you have all these upperclassmen that stuck around and they're here. Again, I think we're going to be good. I feel like we're not going to see like a huge drop off. I mean, obviously, John Michael Schmidt's a huge, huge loss. But yeah, again, maybe I'll be wrong, but I feel like they're going to be solid, and they've got like a good pipeline going with that.
It's a little like you said, though, as long as they don't have to pass block.
Yep.
As long as they can just do like the wedge block with Mo Ibrahim, everything is fine. But you know, usually about once a season, they suddenly find that they need to pass block, and they look like they generally get, the offensive line gives off the air that they practice pass blocking once, like in the second week of camp, and they're trying to remember it now.
Which foot do I step with? Do I just go straight backwards, or do I fan out? What do I do here?
Right. It's definitely, you know, the offensive line for them, it's like the hill park on your driver's test. Mm-hmm. Like you did it once, and you're trying to remember how you were supposed to do it, and then you rest your,
you turn the wheels.
Do I turn the wheel away, or how do I do this?
To touch on receivers quickly, they got Brevin Spanford back for his 140th year tight end. People are saying he's the best Gopher tight end since Matt Spaeth. And what is the one thing we know about Matt Spaeth, Joel?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I don't know where you're going.
The correct answer I was looking for there was he's good in Spaeth.
Oh, oh gosh. Shout out, Noah. Shout out, Noah.
Yeah, that's another inside joke for the three of us. Our friend Noah always said he was good in Spaeth. And
I forgot about that one. Thanks for bringing that up. I
And a wide receiver.
Had that leave my brain. Yeah.
A wide receiver, they got another Western Michigan transfer, Corey Crooms, which doesn't seem like a real name. I just want to say for the record, Corey Crooms sounds like the kind of name you'd make up when you're drunk. And Daniel Jackson, who caught a bunch of passes last year. After Chris Aubin Bell, who's back for his seventh year. Usually we're making this up. I'm not exaggerating there. This is seventh year for Chris Aubin Bell.
I'm fairly sure
he's coming back this year.
You know, he wasn't a transfer, but I'm fairly certain Fleck originally recruited him to Western Michigan before took the Gophers job.
That's true. Yeah.
So there's another. There's another reason for the folks at Kalamazoo to be mad.
And I just found out from prepping for this podcast that Michael Brown Stevens has transferred to a different school, which is disappointing because now the Gophers / John Legend connection has been severed. We'll never again hear what John
Legend
has to say
about Gopher football. Our only celebrity connection. Yeah.
It was John Legend and Shmuel. That were the only celebrities that were connected to Gopher football. And that was just Shmuel.
It's too bad. All the beat writers and sports editors have had to move on to pointing out that Jose Miranda is Lin-Manuel Miranda's cousin.
Right.
So I have a loose tangent to John Legend. Ooh. And the Michael Brown Stevens.
As opposed to all the very tight tangents we've had so far.
We've been keeping it together throughout this podcast into hour number three here.
I want to tell the story so you can dock me 1 week's pay, I guess, as reprimand.
Sounds good.
So I went to a John Legend concert a little while ago. And what I learned early into that concert, how uninterested Ami was to learn of the fact that his nephew played for Gophers. It was not a smooth segue to have us discuss the Gopher football season during the John Legend concert. So
we'll be working throughout this podcast to give you more facts you can use to annoy your wife.
Yeah.
During
I got all sorts of that. Yeah.
Schmuel's at, you guys are at a Taylor Swift show and you're grabbing your wife. Hey, did you know the Gophers have 3 transfers from Western Michigan this year?
yelling it at Taylor Swift. Do you think they have too many Western Michigan transfers?
They also got UNC Charlotte's best receiver, which is interesting to me because I would not have thought UNC Charlotte played football. So there you go. So that's the offense. Do we have any more comments on the offense? I want to briefly touch on defensive stuff so we can get to the schedule so that we can keep this podcast under 2 hours.
Okay. My one brief comment on the offense is, for all the digs at the passing, we should have a better quarterback and we should have better receivers than we've had. So I don't know if we may or may not find out. If we get a chance to throw, we may find out. But, hopefully we're more 2019 than
I love that you phrase that as if we get a chance to throw. Like, if they give us one of the footballs that's made out of a football and is not a block of ice, then I guess we'll have a chance to throw. But who knows whether we'll get the good football or not.
It is the truth, I guess. Yeah.
We've got somebody on the sideline like, we have to roll double sixes before we can throw. I'm sorry.
Got the 20-sided die. Playing D&D on the sideline. I cast boring offense. That was a D&D joke for all you nerds out there. I've never actually played D&D. All right, yeah, defense.
I don't think it was a D&D joke.
I don't know how Dungeons and Dragons work. I'm going to be honest.
No,
with
neither
you.
Do I.
Do you play as a dungeon or a dragon? Like, which one do you do? I don't understand.
I like how you're making fun of Dungeons & Dragons people for getting too far into the obscure things as we talk about former defensive coordinators and where various Gopher players transfer from.
In hour number 4 of a Gopher football broadcast, where we're going position by position, and let's make fun of the nerds, everybody. Those nerds need to know how dumb they are. All right, so the Gopher defense. My memory, I need you guys to correct this memory if it's wrong. My memory of last year's Gopher defense is they were good, but they never once sacked the quarterback or tackled anyone behind the line of scrimmage. Is that correct?
Do I have that right? 100% correct.
100%. They haven't had a tackle for loss in the last, I think, 18 seasons.
Yeah. Ever since, who is that one defensive end they had that was good, that got drafted in like the first round? We're going back to like 2000 here. Help me out. Might have been a linebacker.
Are we thinking of Willie Van de Steek?
I don't think I'm thinking of Willie Van de Steek, but that's a good
Caron Riley.
I think it was Caron Riley.
Yeah. Okay.
Boy, this is why you guys are on the podcast, to help me remember some Gopher football guys.
Yeah. Dave, you'll have to fact check me if you remember it, but I do think they were last in the Big Ten in sacks. They might have had 12 or
I can't remember the last. Like that. Yeah. I can't remember the last time they had a sack. Like, they definitely occasionally somebody gets close to the quarterback, and they have literally missed the tackle on a potential sack. Their last 153 potential sacks.
Yeah. Their conversion rate is 0% over the past 5 years.
So maybe the new D line coach will be the difference.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, maybe
Winston Delaware.
I think you might cut out, but it didn't really make a difference.
No, it doesn't make a difference.
Oh, darn it!
And yeah, it's not a thing that they do, but usually they miss the sack, but then the quarterback winds up gaining like half a yard. As opposed to once upon a time, 3 guys would miss the tackle on the quarterback who would then run for a touchdown, like a 65-yard touchdown. So that's better.
So
yeah, the guy that I've been hearing the fall camp hype guy I'm hearing is Ja Joyner. Is that his name?
Ja Joyner. That's a great name.
Ja Joyner. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. That's the guy that we need to be optimistic about for the optimism.
He's the guy that's going to rush the passer.
He's the pass rushing guy. Yeah.
I like last year they had Thomas Rush on the defensive line, which is a good name for a defensive lineman, you have to say. Tommy Rush. So Ja Joyner is the guy we're counting on here.
Yes.
All right. Then we also have a guy that I want to just mention his name. His name is Jalen Logan Redding, which just seems like too much name for a defensive lineman. Like that's a quarterback name right there. That's maybe a kicker name. Jalen Logan Redding. The double barrel hyphenated name just doesn't seem like it belongs on the defensive line. That's all I'm saying. What is Joyner's been around here for a while, right? He's not a transfer.
Not a transfer.
Not a transfer, no.
Okay. Well, again,
I think he's a junior, like a redshirt sophomore or junior. So yeah, he's been around for a while. Yeah.
And then so we're counting on him to rush the passer. We've got 14 defensive tackles that are all 5 feet wide, but none of them can rush the passer either, right?
Right.
Probably not worth learning their names, huh?
But again, it's not exciting, but it does seem to be working. Like, I don't want to complain too terribly much about how the fact that the defensive front seven has a bunch of good players, but never anyone who's like really good, because it is working.
Right. And then at linebacker, they have Cody Lindenberg, who everybody loves, mostly because he just looks like a linebacker. You know what I mean? They had Mariano Sorry-Marin, who was, again, a 15th year senior or whatever last year. He's finally gone. So now literally, it's pretty much Cody Lindenberg and nothing in linebacker. Right?
Mariano Sorry-Marin was like the only guy left in college football playing in a neck roll.
Yeah.
We need more. We do need more neck rolls out of the linebacker core. I just want to say that. It seems right.
And I feel like the neck roll just affected everything else you saw. Like, he would run somebody down. I'm like, that can't be right. He's wearing a neck roll.
So I played football and I knew people who wore neck rolls. What is the point of the neck roll in football?
What does it keep
from happening?
I think it keeps your head from snapping back.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just like a bumper for the back of your head?
I think so. I don't know.
I guess that makes sense. But I don't know. I've never thought about it till right now. So even like, you know, we're talking like the 1980s neck roll where it was literally just like a rolled up towel around your neck. That was to keep your neck from snapping back.
I don't, John, everybody back then was on so many steroids. It's probably to keep it didn't your matter. Neck yeah.
It was for the steroid sweat.
Yeah. Why was Brian Bosworth wearing a neck roll? Probably his head would have shot off into space if he didn't have the neck roll on.
That was the era of the tearaway jerseys, where the big advancement was jerseys that were made out of Kleenex that if you tried to grab them, they would tear away, and then you'd have to miss three plays while somebody found you another jersey because your jersey had disappeared. Anyway,
I don't know any of the other linebackers. Like, I was just looking at the names. I don't know any of them.
We've got Ryan Selig, who's a transfer. No points for guessing where he transferred from.
Although I see that we had a linebacker who transferred to Western Michigan as well. So possibly we traded one.
Well, that's nice.
Is that a thing? Can you do that in college football? Be like, hey, well, we'll trade you this guy.
Maybe.
The old 10 anyway. For 1 swap. Yeah.
The old Herschel Walker. At cornerback, we still have Justin Whaley. I can't remember how his name is pronounced. Anybody can help me out there? He's still around. He's good.
I'm your brother. It's not like I'm going to be any help here.
That's right. And we still have Tyler Newbin at safety. He's been around forever, and he's good. I thought he was going to get drafted.
He was, and then he came back.
Why did he come back?
I don't have any idea. Maybe he's the one who got the $18 in NIL money that the program has. It's like, now, oh man, that's three subs if I go on foot long for $5 day.
The NIL in Minnesota is just like gift certificates.
And not like big ones
who
either.
Who wants $10 off campus pizza?
Well, I think those two guys you listed are two of the better secondary folks in the conference potentially. They're
probably
really
both
make
first
players.
Team all Big Ten, but
Doesn't mean you can't make the NIL joke. I mean, that doesn't preclude that. I do think, like, again, D-backs, like, we're probably in pretty good shape there. So,
all right,
well, you know, it's going to be the same defense as last year, right? We're not going to sack anybody. We're going to be pretty darn solid, but it's just not going to be very flashy.
Just Joe Rossi blowing his whistle during practice. Hey, don't go back there. Don't go in the backfield. That's not where we go. Run along the line. Just mirror him. Mirror that running back till he crosses the line. Then you can hit him. Okay. Thanks, coach. Seems to be working, so I can't deny this. All right. One final question about positions. Do either of you know the name of the Gopher kicker or the Gopher punter or the Gopher long snapper?
Not the long snapper.
I just want to say this is not a quiz. I don't know any of the names.
Isn't the punter like 30 years old?
Yes. They have a 30-year-old Australian at punter. I'm pretty sure he is in fact 30.
I don't know all how right. that happens, but that's great.
Yeah.
It gives us all hope.
And their kicker's name, and I'm not making this up, is Dragan Kisic.
Dragan?
Uh-huh. And I can't understand why they didn't just change it to Dragan, because that would be cool. But he's been the kickoff specialist for several years, but now they're going to let him try like field goals and extra points, which I really like. I'm desperately hoping that he still takes like a 9-step kickoff run up to all the kick. Like the line just has to hold extra and he's going to try to boot it 85 yards, no matter how close or far he is.
They snap the ball for an extra point and he's still standing back at like the 25 with his hand.
Yeah. Just runs up and absolutely nails it. Thing bounces when's off Mariucci Arena.
He's going to blow the whistle.
Between the names and the age, I'm a little concerned about the special teams right now.
like you're worried they're going to be more focused on their pension than playing this year? Or?
We couldn't bring in some run-of-the-mill 3-star recruit to kick. But I don't know. I was also surprised when I looked at the depth chart, how much depth we have at kicker. There's like 3 different names listed for place kicker. I thought you just keep one.
Yeah. So what are the chances that any of those guys actually exist?
Yeah, that's true.
It's like AI generated.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got Bob Kicker.
Yeah.
I do miss
Kemp. That's clearly made up. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
the last. All I'm saying is the last two guys on the depth chart are the first two guys on Western Michigan's depth chart of kicker. It's just listing them.
I do miss, like, under Jerry Kill, they would have several punters on the roster and they just give them all the same number. So you never really knew who was going out to punt because they were all like number 37.
Hey, punter, get in there.
Yeah.
Which punter do you want? It doesn't matter. He's still just screaming. I don't care. I don't care which one goes out there. Just someone go out there. All right. That's the Gopher football team. We named several guys. We remembered some guys.
We named about maybe less than 1% of the roster.
Yeah.
We named more guys who were on the roster 25 years ago than we named the guys who are on the roster now.
So this has been very helpful for those of you who are looking by position for a position by position breakdown. The schedule breakdown, I do know the names of almost all of these schools, so that's really going to help us. Just a note, they got 12-game schedule. 9 of them are Big Ten games again this year. 5 of those are at home, 4 are on the road. Their non-conference games are home against Eastern Michigan and home against Louisiana, which they should win both of those, right? Like, it's not really a question.
Yes, although Eastern Michigan is better than they used to be.
How good did they used to be?
Well, they used to be possibly the worst team in Division I. And they are
Division
not,
I is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, they're still Division I. They are not that anymore.
What's Eastern Michigan's nickname? I feel like I know the nickname of every other directional school.
I think they're the Eagles.
Eastern Michigan Eagles we're going with. Western Michigan's the Broncos. Central Michigan's the Chippewas? Yeah.
I think that's right.
It is the Eagles, Dave. You're right.
Yes. All right.
Good job, Dave.
That's right.
So those are their two home non-conference games. Their away non-conference game is North Carolina, who's actually really good, right?
Yes.
They have a potential Heisman winner at quarterback.
So yeah, are they good other than that quarterback? Like,
they're generally pretty good. I don't think their defense is all that great, but I think their offense is pretty good.
Is Mac Brown still their coach?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so the third week of the season, they still could be doing the Mac Brown slide at the start of the year.
I think it goes the other way, unfortunately. I think that they start out hot, and then you're like, hey, wasn't North Carolina good? And you look, and they're like 5-6 somehow, gotcha, with all of the losses being by 3 points.
Go ahead, John.
No, go ahead, Joel.
For a non-conference schedule, usually we just play three directional schools and call it a day. Do you like that we're playing like an actual team?
Yes, I think it's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if you guys knew this, but I'm going to the game in North Carolina too. This is my first ever Gopher football road game. And you couldn't pick a better rival than to go and watch them play against North Carolina, their historical football rival.
That classic football atmosphere, North Carolina.
Yeah. I assume at some point I'm going to see Lawrence Taylor and he's going to try to punch me.
That is a thing that probably will happen.
I can't think of anybody else who ever played football in North Carolina. I'm going to be honest with you. You got any other names for me?
Jerry Stackhouse.
Jerry Stackhouse.
Julius Peppers.
Oh, yeah, Julius Peppers. He was in North Carolina.
Good one, Shmuel. This is why Shmuel is here, to remember some guys.
Just remember North Carolina guys. I've been waiting for an hour to see if I could work in Julius Peppers.
Has a legal pad, and all that's written on it is Julius Peppers! Exclamation point.
Underline.
Must mention. Underline. All right, Big Ten schedule. They're home against Nebraska. They're home against Michigan. They're home against Michigan State, Illinois, and Wisconsin. In terms of fan interest, that's not terrible. They have Wisconsin at home. Michigan will get a lot of people. Nebraska, they say it's a sellout, but of 50,000 seats, I got to imagine 30,000 are sold to Nebraskans, because that's usually what happens when Nebraska plays here. Mm-hmm. So those three games in terms of fan interest, not terrible. And Illinois, Michigan State are both winnable, but those teams are both okay, right?
Yeah. Illinois and Michigan State aren't bad, and Illinois is, you know, still being coached by Bert Bielema, who you will hear many times in the run up to the game, the Gophers have never beaten.
They've never beaten Bielema?
Not once.
Oh man.
Last year was going to be the year, and then they lost by, I think, 21.
And he looks so much like Garth Brooks. The game, we have said several times already, they're going to lose to Michigan. They should beat Nebraska, and then the other three home games.
I think they're favored by about a touchdown against Nebraska, but that's not should beat. That's might beat.
Favored to beat Nebraska.
Like, definitely they'll be slightly favored against Nebraska and Illinois, but not by so much that it would be like crushingly disappointing if they lose. The only Big Ten game that is in like the should win category is Northwestern. But as far as I know, like, Northwestern currently does not have a coach or any players.
That's true. I'm not sure what status their team is right now. So they got five home games. Sorry, go ahead, Jamal.
I was going to say, for the opener with Nebraska, I feel like that's going to be a close one. First of all, you have no idea. It's a new coaching staff. You have no idea what they're running on offense or defense. They really run a weird defense. They run the 3-3-5. Their D coordinator came from Syracuse, if you remember from the bowl game last year.
I don't feel like running a 3-3-5 against Minnesota is a good idea.
Either, I just think it'll be a weird game. Yeah.
What do we do when they put that fourth tight end in, Coach? Do we cover him, or do we back off into sort of a cover four look?
I think there are like only a couple teams in college football that play this defense now at this point. So, yeah, I think it'll be kind of like, it'll be a difficult game. And just for anyone that cares, Matt Rhule is, He's very similar to PJ Fleck. He says elite all the time, like when he does okay. press conferences. He talks about being a developmental program.
Oh,
and
I bet the Nebraska fans love that.
Yeah, so they're he's got some similar vibes to Fleck. So I don't know if that's it's probably good or bad depending on what your opinion on Fleck is, but yeah.
I think Nebraska fans are still like, what we need is steroids and partial qualifiers and a lot of convicted criminals. And that is what'll get us back to the heights.
Those were the good old days for them. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So looking at the away schedule, they're at Northwestern, which you're telling me they should win. They're at mm-hmm. Iowa, a place they haven't won since the dawn of time. They're at Ohio State, a place they have no chance of ever winning. When was the last time they won at Ohio State? 2000?
The 50s, I think.
No, didn't they win there? Didn't they win?
Oh, yeah, no. 2000? Yeah, 2000, they won at Ohio State. And before that, it might be before World War II. Yeah,
the 30s.
Yeah, that must be the only one.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're at Purdue. And which Purdue is terrible? Or is Purdue a
Purdue has a new coaching staff, but...
They don't have the guy with the mustache anymore. What was his name?
Joe Tiller? No, that
Joe
was,
Tiller.
That was you're like talking five, a few coaches
that was,
ago.
Again, 20, that was 20 years ago.
So you guys want to hear my random Purdue story?
Yes,
it Purdue is. Coaching staff story.
Yep. Well, how could we not want to hear that?
Okay, I'm going to try and keep this as short as I can. I was playing basketball by myself when my girls were at gymnastics class, and I was like by a softball field, and a gentleman comes over and he asks, "Hey, can I shoot with you?" And so we start shooting baskets and start talking, and I'm talking about football, and you know, and he was asking me my opinion about PJ Fleck and the Gophers. So of course, I was like, you know, singing their praises and talking.
Was
about
he
all
was
this
he
stuff.
Really Schmuel, or do you just like?
Yeah. He said hello.
He was clearly making conversation and being nice, which was okay. Which is great. Then eventually I got around to being, "Hey, what do you, you know, what do you do?" And he's like, "I'm a football coach." I'm like, "Oh, that's interesting. Like, where do you coach at?" He's like, "Last year I coached at Purdue." I was like, "Oh, this is very interesting." And I was talking to you about football for the last 10 minutes, not knowing you were a football coach. And I'm sure you're just laughing at like this guy that thinks that he knows something about football is talking to me about all this stuff. So, It turns out he was the secondary coach for Purdue last year.
All right.
He played corner at Ohio State and played in the NFL and all this stuff. And he was just visiting a friend that lives in San Diego where I live. And they were just at the daughter's softball practice. So, yeah. So I was like, it was very interesting. I'm like, you don't lead with that you played in the NFL and that you're college football coach, and you just hear me babbling about PJ Fleck and all this random BS. But that was a really random connection. But yeah, he didn't move over. Like, that staff went to Louisville, I guess, Purdue's old staff, and he didn't go over there. So that's my Purdue story. Very random Purdue
right.
story.
So what can this you tell us this about lets Purdue's you know that secondary? What inside information did you get for us?
Oh, I have no insight to offer that. I offering you a mildly, maybe at best story, entertaining story. And
what I'm hearing is that Louisville's quarterbacks could struggle this year without the same position.
They've lost the coach. And the other part is he was a very, very nice guy, clearly, to like deal with me talking about over football and all this stuff. So
do we know this man's name, or is he just
his name is Ashton Yabuti.
Oh, I vaguely remember that name.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad he's a very nice man.
It's a legit story. It's a legit story. It's too random to make up.
If you had made up that story, I would recommend professional help of some kind.
Yeah. It also shows, don't say no to anyone that wants to play basketball with you, even if you don't feel like socializing with anyone right then. Yeah.
Ashton
Djibouti.
What would the therapist say if Shmuel had made that story up? Well, he's got delusions of, does he have delusions of grandeur? No, it doesn't rise that high. Delusions of of delusions of remembering a guy.
Remembering mediocre things that, yeah.
Yeah.
That no I saw, one really cares
I
about.
I saw Kevin McReynolds in the drive thru at Burger King.
Yeah, so I don't know if I can quite call it a celebrity sighting, but yeah. So. So in conclusion, we should be fine. Yeah, Gopher
right.
should be fine. Yeah.
I want some predictions. We've gone down the schedule. I want some predictions for the number of Gophers wins we're gonna see this year. I'm still thinking about mine, so I need you to go crazy one way or the other so I can be the voice of reason in the middle.
Mm. I think that's exactly me and Dave's role, so that should be perfect.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, Shmuel, how many games you think the Gophers are going to win so that we can establish what the high end for the Gophers is.
I have them winning every game on the schedule minus Ohio State and Michigan.
Okay.
So what is that? What does that get us?
That'd be 10-2.
10-2.
That's some impressive optimism, I got to say.
I would say probably more realistic optimist is we lose one other game. So I'm going to go 9-3. 9-3 in total, thinking that we might lose another one in there. Cultural
Listen,
sustainability.
I don't want to be too crazy,
the boat,
guys.
Skyuma. Yeah,
I'm going to predict Minnesota to win 9 games against the second hardest schedule in the country.
Second most opportunistic schedule.
Most full of opportunistic goals.
Yeah, I got to go full blown optimism because I know what Dave's going to bring the thunder right after me.
All right.
So
let's hear it, Dave.
On the other side of the coin. But yeah, I got that. Obviously, a lot of close games, but I'm liking where the program's at. Again, 9 or 10 wins the last 3 years, right? And hopefully we have a good season. Again, 9 wins with this schedule would really be something. So,
Dave.
If you didn't pass out, I guess you're next.
Hit us with a hot one.
That was too much optimism. I'm hyperventilating right now. I can't do it. No, I think if they win 6 games, that actually would be a decent result against this schedule. Like, really? I think, you know, there's 3 games they should win. There's kind of, you know, there's 5 games they probably won't win. And there's 4 that are toss-ups. So win 3 of the 4 toss-ups. That's not a bad season.
Dave, right. Have you ever predicted the Gophers to win more than 6 games?
I think maybe the year they didn't play. I think that maybe the year they played like Rutgers and Indiana and a bad Maryland team. I might have predicted 7.
All right, so we have 1-10-2 or 9-3 at the worst. We've got Dave saying 6-6, but it's a good 6-6. So right. I'm just going to land right in the middle. I'm going to say 8-4. They got 3 games they won't win, and then they got a bunch of toss ups, and they're going to win all but one of them. No. I'm going to say they're going to win all the toss-ups, and then they're going to lose one that they have no business losing, like Northwestern.
What's the third unwinnable?
At Iowa. They haven't won there.
Iowa. Oh, God. That's so painful that that's the unwinnable. Gosh.
Hayden Fry's first season. They beat Iowa on the road, and that was the last time. Kinnick Stadium was just a bunch of folding chairs along the side of the field the last time they won there.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you guys for college football / Gopher football season?
Well, ooh. After this podcast, at least 11 out of 10, maybe 12.
Yeah. Correct answer.
I am afraid that we've made everyone listening to this less excited for college football.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about being a Gopher football fan. Like, there are all these places around the country where going to the game is like a celebration, and then you got the PJ Fleck Gophers running the ball 48 times a game and trying to shorten the game as possible. It's just like the fans are excited, but going into the game is like, well, you got to paint your face. It's war paint time. We're gonna go and watch to struggle in the trenches. If your voicemail message is from John Facenda on NFL Films, you love Gopher football. All right. That is what I wanted to hear. And, you know, we've reached the 3-hour mark successfully. So the other remaining Gopher football sickos, there's got to be a few. I hope there's at least one other one that listens to this podcast, because it would be appropriate, but it would also be a little bit of a shame if it was literally just the 3 of us that would ever listen to this.
We have made a podcast that very much is a niche audience of only us.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what we do. That's what we do here at The Sportive. All right. I want to say thanks to Dave. I want to say thanks to Shmuel. Thanks for humoring me, guys. Thanks for being here. I didn't get yelled at on this podcast nearly as much as I usually do. And for that, I just have to say that I appreciate you.
We're here to help.
Thanks a lot, guys. It's a lot of fun.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.